Yes, sir.
Yo, yo.
Yo, yo, we good. You gonna bring us down?
Yeah, man, we here, man. We back for another episode of the Man to Man Pod, man, on this beautiful Thursday. I'm half of the pod. I'm Antoine Bethea, man. Got my co-host, D Butt.
Yo, yo.
What's good? What's good? How you?
I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. Can't call it, man. Crazy, crazy week in sports, man. I see we got some early morning hate.
Yeah, Sean. That's that boy Sean, man.
Oh, Sean, man. Chilling out. Elevated music on the countdown, man.
Boy, I love it, though. I love it.
You know what I mean? It's a vibe, you know, trying to do a little this, little that, little razzle-dazzle.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Good, man. Can't complain. Can't complain at all, man. Been a busy week, a good week, productive, healthy, the family good. So no complaints on this side. What about you, man?
Hey, you know, all is well over here, man. Like you said, family healthy. We got up this morning, man. 2 feet hit the ground. Can't complain, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Any plans for Father's Day this weekend?
None at all, man. My the two oldest ones, man, they got a big track meet out here. So okay. Yeah, I'm working the track meet Saturday and Sunday. So that's my Father's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no plans yet either, but as long as I'm with the kids, we good.
Yeah,
we can catch a vibe. But but man, crazy, some crazy developments in sports, some wild games in the last couple of days. Chris Paul. He's been put in the COVID protocol, so his status for the Western Conference Finals are kind of up in the air. This Utah Clippers series, Clippers pulled out a win last night. They're up 3-2. Hopefully that one goes to Game 7 because I want to see Chris Paul. I want to see Chris Paul in any game as possible in that Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, yeah. What you think about that situation, though, man? And, you know, not to throw no names out there, but obviously previous, you know, you had somebody that was kind of went against the COVID-19 protocol, nothing happened. And now with CP3, man, like, how do you feel about this whole situation?
Oh, man, you know what? I know I didn't expect LeBron to get, you know, any punishment passed down, especially during the offs. Chris Paul, I don't know if he has COVID, if he was in contact with someone who recently had COVID. Like, I don't really know the details of you know, of what's really going on there. You know, Shams was on the guy who breaks a lot of news from the NBA. He was on Pat's show yesterday. I was watching him on there, and he wouldn't really speak on if he actually failed the test or not. It was some reports that came out that said he got vaccinated back in February.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, you know, how true or false that is. But yeah, so it's just like, you know, it's a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
It's a lot of question marks. So got some people said he has COVID and he was vaccinated back in February. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's different from LeBron. I think if it was a similar LeBron situation,
it would have push it on through. Yeah. Nah, man, it's tough, man, because, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody been seeing it, just how, you know, CP3, man, just seemed like he can't catch a break.
Man.
You know, out in Houston, and, you know, they had that series, you know, gets injured.
Going to stem the ropes.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you know, here, team playing well. And, you know, now this. So, hopefully, man, you know, they get it situated. He goes through the protocols, go through the tests that he needs to go through, and like you said, man, have him ready for the finals.
The hottest team in the playoffs. Hottest team in the playoffs, in my opinion. That was one of my favorites going in. Definitely my favorite coming out of the West. And Chris Paul makes that thing go, man. Especially last game.
Yeah.
He stepped up and just took that, like, every time the Nuggets tried to make a run, it was like, uh-uh, uh-uh.
Yeah, finished with, like, 36,
37? Yeah, no, I think it was 100 from the line, like, maybe one or two turnovers during the whole series. Just so I really, really, really want to see Chris Paul back out there. If If the Clippers close it out, I think the Western Conference Finals start on Sunday. If they close it out in six.
And he won't be ready. He won't be available at that time.
He will not be available. If not, if it goes out to seven, I think the conference finals will then start on Tuesday, which give him an extra 2 days. But if he has COVID, we're gonna see, man. What else though? Let's just run down the different things that's going on. So Kawhi Leonard, we knew he got injured. That's come out of this an ACL injury. You know, PG put that team on his back. Great.
Shout out to Playoff P, man.
Shout out to Paul George. We're gonna get to that though.
Shout out to Playoff P.
Bron spoke out, you know, talking about all the injuries in the NBA. We spoke about that as well, having a short offseason. We expect a lot more injuries. Stan Van Gundy fired from New Orleans. Scott Brooks fired out there in D.C. GM in Dallas fired Donnie Nelson, who reportedly is one of Luka's guys. Luka Doncic, obviously, who should be signing a max deal pretty soon. That's one of his guys. So, might be a little smoke there. Jokic plays in the Olympics. LaMelo Ball won Rookie of the Year. And then the other games we'll talk about. But let's get to that to the late game last night. That Clippers, Jazz. I mean, I picked the Jazz coming into that series to win it in six. So that's obviously going to be wrong. And then when that ACL injury news came out, I was like, oh, yeah, they definitely are going to win this game. I didn't think. And then I was kind of like, damn, do Paul George have that type of performance in him to put the team on his back? And he stepped up, him and Reggie Jackson. What you thought about Paul George? You think Playoff P has arrived? It's three straight 30-point games.
Playoff P, man. Look ahead. So this is what it is, and you're an athlete, former professional player, right? So Paul George, he saw what KD did. You know what I'm saying? He saw that. He was sitting at the crib. He was looking. He heard the comments about, you know, can KD do X, Y, and Z, right? KD, he did. He showed up. He showed out. Put the Brooklyn Nets on his back and had a phenomenal game, right? So, you know, Paul George, he hearing the same thing. Kawhi's out, you know. Obviously, you know, people talking about, you know, it's not Playoff P. Like you said, it's Paul George. So, you know, he's hearing this stuff. And he came out and did what he was supposed to do. He put the team on his back, like you said. Reggie Jackson, he stepped up and had a huge game for him.
And he's been gaming, too. He's been gaming.
Nah, for sure. But Paul George said it. You know, he was like, man, when I was in Indy, I was doing this. You know, I was doing this when I was with the Pacers. You know, I was a franchise player, you know. So now he said, now that I'm alongside Kawhi's out, he figured he needed to do what he needed to do. Hats off to him, man. He gets a lot of, you know,
hate, a lot of I wouldn't call it hate though. I would say maybe heat. He gets a lot of heat, especially on the socials and the media and things like that, because when you come out with a moniker, Playoff P, you know, just like you know, Playoff,
you gotta live up to that.
You gotta live up to it, and
at all times.
In the bubble, he's stunking up in the bubble. I know he was dealing with some things mentally that he came out and spoke on. You know, and he's just been inconsistent in big moments, especially at this time of the year. So I wouldn't say it was hate that was uncalled for or anything like that. But for him to keep pushing, keep fighting, keep shooting, keep believing in himself, man, I'm happy for him, man. I'm happy for him to be performing. Well, I don't ever want to see somebody just, you know, keep underperforming or missing their point. So for him to be balling the way he has, especially when he needed to, when his team needed him to the most, that was huge. I did not expect. So, I mean, hats off to that whole Clippers team. The Morris hooped. Like I said, Reggie Jackson, who's been playing great this whole playoff run, he stepped his game up. Ty Lue did a great job coaching, man. So that's a good team they beat. You know, Jazz, they were shooting lights out in that first half. Second half got cold. I think they were like 3 for 24 from behind the arc in the second half. And they were fire hot that first half. So,
big
win for the Clippers, man. You got them closing that series out?
I don't have them closing it out. I think it will go game seven.
Okay.
I think it will go to game seven.
Is it next year in LA? I think the next game is in LA.
It is.
Now,
if Paul George
going to close this thing out in LA and he have another game similar to that, I'm calling playoff P.
I think he will have another big game. But I think it's going to be, like you said, Morris twin. I think Reggie Jackson, you know, I think it's the guys around them. They're going to have to play big as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most important things, where we expect the star players to be stars, right? Yeah. But those role players, those players around them, they have to have solid games. You know, not they don't have to have these games like out of the world, but they got to have solid games like they did last night. And like you said, Reggie Jackson, he been balling all series, man. So I don't know, man. I don't think they'll close it out game six. I think it'll go game seven. But hey, who knows, man? The playoffs, yeah, been, I mean, it's been wild this year.
I wanted to go seven more so for that Phoenix series, for Chris Paul and his availability. I wanted to go seven. That's been a good series. It's been back and forth. I hate that Mike Conley is missing this series as well. But you know, injuries part of the game, man.
Part of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the game. But that'd be a good one. Like I said, if PG step up, put that shit on his back again, closing one seed out, I can call the playoff P, because I seen playoff P. I'm a Heat fan, so I saw him take the Heatles.
You definitely saw it.
Yeah, I saw him take the Heatles in game seven.
Bum ass Heat.
You know what I mean? That was a good squad he was on, but
it was.
David West, Hibbert, Lance Stephenson had some hoopers on that squad. But he averaged 29 in the series, 29-9-4. So we'll see. But the other game last night, the game before that, game one, Philadelphia 76ers versus the Atlanta Hawks.
Don't make no damn sense.
I think Philly was up 26, I think was the biggest lead that they had.
It was 26.
I bet that game. I had to pick that game. I took the Hawks with the points. The spread was 7.5. And, you know, I was not feeling great about that for the majority of the game. Was getting a lot of people chirping in them Twitter mentions. Like, hey, I don't know. Woo. Shit got real quiet in that fourth. And B-ball, he dominated from the get. I think he started out eight for eight. Steph Curry was on fire.
You were sweating watching that game.
Nah, man, I turned it off. Honestly, I turned that shit off. I wasn't going to keep watching. I actually got in the car, I ran somewhere, and I had it on the radio on Sirius. And I'm listening to it, and they're like, hey, you know, this could be 13 and 12. I'm like, oh, so hold on. You heard me get to the crib, man. Got back to the crib. Ben Simmons. We were talking about it kind of before we got on air, man. Like, what's the next move there, man? What's the next move there?
Man, put the work in, man. I'm never going to question somebody's work ethic, but it's not showing. Like, for me, it's like, you know, if I'm getting paid millions of dollars, right? And I told you before we jumped on air, right? So I can understand you not having your jump shot not like Steph Curry, right? You know, I can understand that. You know what I mean? But it has to be something, bro. And then even from the free throw line, like, you've been shooting free throws all your life. Right now, you can go out there. I can go out there and I can shoot.
Your entire life, like, from the
you've
same
distance.
You've
been shooting free throws. Like, I can go out there out of 10, I'll give you 7. I'll shoot 70% from the free throw line. You know what I'm saying? And I think last night it was either 2-for-14 or 4-for-14 from the free throw line. Like, and with you being
they started to hack a Ben early like that.
That's what I'm saying. And with you being a guard and you primarily having the ball in your hand, that's not a good look, man. So he got to put that work in, man. He got to put that work in. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that he doesn't put the work in or his work ethic or whatever. But it's got to do a little bit extra, man. Especially when you. When you one of the young guys of the franchise, yeah, man, that you're trying to build around.
You one of the cornerstones. You're a big part of that process. You're number one pick. And then my thing is, like you said, you could go in the gym and put up 500 shots a day, 1,000 a day, whatever. Like, you got – it's something you got to be – you have to – at this point in your career, we got to see improvement. You're too much of a liability to your team. You give him more of a pass with the jump shots. I mean, he may not ever be a good three-point shooter, but you got to be effective, you know, 18 and in. You know, same goes for Greek. You gotta put the work in. You have to. And then if you're not gonna do that, at least play elite defensively in this series. Like, you got a guy in Trae Young who, okay, we need somebody, we gotta stop this guy from getting in the paint and killing us with this mid-range in between game, driving, dishing. You're an all defensive type player. You gotta be that difference maker, at least in that phase of the game, if you're not giving a shit on offense to the point where we gotta take you out of the game because they follow you. So that's one guy who didn't show up. Tobias Harris, who's been averaging 20 a game in this series. He's been balling.
It was two people scored field goals for the Philadelphia 76ers in the second half yesterday. Curry and Embiid.
Unacceptable.
So let me ask you this, right? So they get Doc Rivers out of LA. Like, how does that, what type of light does this like, what does it look like for Doc Rivers?
It don't look good. It does not look good at all. If we being real, and I'm a Doc fan. I was actually in New England when he was coaching the Celtics, and I've been a fan of his since then. But I didn't think it was fair for all the blame that he took from from some of the guys in that Clippers locker room last year.
Yeah,
but he definitely could have got better. He definitely could have done some things better. He definitely could have made better adjustments. He gonna take some heat for this collapse. I mean, it's something that only happened left probably a handful or less in the playoffs. It's just completely unacceptable. So if he doesn't pull this series out, it's gonna be ugly for Doc. I'm not saying he's gonna be fired. It's not gonna be a good look at all for Doc. I mean, the last two games too late. You know, Embiid had a great game, but he faded at the end of the game before. I think he was like 0 for 12 or something like that in the fourth quarter. This game, he was kind of out of that perimeter late, shooting more jumpers early on. He was dominating in the paint, unstoppable, got to the line. He missed two big free throws. So he's got to finish. But Tobias Harris, in my opinion, he's the guy that got to show up. You're a $180 million guy. You got to show up every night. Like, you don't have an option not to show up in a playoff series of this magnitude when you're a max guy. So it's tough. They're gonna have to do something with Ben Simmons, though. They're gonna have to get him up out of there.
Byron G, man, gotta leave Simmons out in the last 4 minutes of a close game. And that's crazy, and that's wild to me, because you are one of our main ball handlers. You are one of our young stars, and for you to be on the bench in close games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's unacceptable. We can't have that.
Yeah, that can't rock. I mean, so do you move on from Ben Simmons?
Nah, I don't say you move on. What year is this for Ben? This is year.
What is it? Him and Tatum.
Year four?
But he really came in the year before. I think it's year four.
Year four? Nah, I don't say you move on right now. But again, like I said, you know, he got to put that work in. He has to show improvement. But I think it's close. It's close though. It's around that time where you do look and be like, okay. Because again, you look at
you. Are we still trusting this process?
Exactly. And then you just, for me, it's like you just look at the guys that came around the same time that he came into the league. What are them young guys doing? You know what I'm saying?
How are they developing? That process, they're gonna have to figure something out over the 76ers. Same thing over in Boston. They're gonna have to figure some things out over in Boston. Van Gundy.
That's the one that, oof.
What's this? That's what Ben Simmons got already?
That's what Ben Simmons.
4 for 1, yeah. Them
basketball jump streets.
No joke. Them choice ain't no joke. What was I looking at though?
Stan Van Gundy, one and done.
Oh yeah, Van Gundy, one and done. Signed a 5-year deal with New Orleans. 1 year out of there. I mean, I think they definitely underachieved, but sheesh.
Yeah, I hate when organizations give coach, like, I hate that. I hate that. You got to give a coach more than 1 year, man. Now, if it was a mutual thing where Stan was like, "Look, man, I'm getting up out of here." Yeah, like you gotta get a man at least 2 years to build that foundation as far as, like, you know, what he's looking for. So yeah, man, I hate to see that in all sports though. Like, you know, whatever the case may be, you gotta give a coach more than a year, even more than 2 years for real, because it takes some time to really build a foundation, to build a culture. As far as, you know, what you're looking for, bringing the guys in that fits that mold of what you want, man. So again, unless it was a mutual thing though, I hate to see it.
A lot of these coaches, they've been getting that. Oh, this coach mutually agreed to part ways.
The coach price.
You know, used to hear that, but
the coaches, they probably see that shit though. Like, oh man, I can't do nothing with this.
Hell so. Yeah. But I mean, you got Brandon Ingram, you got Zion. I definitely don't think it was Van Gundy. If you're coaching a young star, like, I mean, because Zion had a good year. Ingram had a good year. You know, you got to build around those pieces. But I definitely wouldn't see a situation that Van Gundy would want to leave after a year. But if I'm an organization, I don't think you make that move unless it's somebody in mind that you say, all right, you know, this is going to be our guy for these reasons. Like, these are the this is the type of philosophy we want. This is the type of culture we want around here. We need to change some things up. If you have somebody in mind, that's one thing. But if you just fire and Stan Van Gundy, you just go out here just to start a search from scratch. I don't think that's in the best interest for the team. But what the hell do we know, man?
Exactly. Shit, we on the podcast talking about it.
You know what I mean? What do we know, man? We're not running any teams out here.
Not yet, at least. Hey, let's go down to DC. Go down to DC.
Wait. Before we do that, we didn't get on here to talk about this KD performance that you were. I mean, y'all know you picked the Bucks. You still like the Bucks at 7, right?
I still like the Bucks at 7. Yeah, I still like the Bucks at 7.
I know. I said going into that game, the Nets didn't have a chance to win it without Harden and Kyrie playing. KD by himself, I didn't think he had a chance to win it. Harden played. Hey, and somebody said something about KD need to be put back in my. No, KD is in my top five. He remained in my top five.
That was Tone that said that. Tone said that.
Yeah, and he's still in my top five. All I said was all top five are not created equal, which I still stand on that. Now, James Harden did play. You look at the stat sheet, you look at the box score. Shit, if you watch the play, he wasn't ready to play the game. But you know, as an athlete, you know, as a team, as a former teammate, like when one of your guys, like your main dogs, go out there and wounded, he don't want to leave KD out there by himself. Like, that does something for the team. That does something. Man, regardless of
hell
how
nah.
effective,
hell
regardless
nah.
of how effective he actually is. That does something for the team. Early on, they were still doubling him when he was getting him to their offensive sets. They were double teaming him. He got Jrue Holiday in foul trouble early. Had some huge defensive stops down the stretch. They tried to send a double.
That was love. I like to see that. But he stunk it up out there. I respected him going out there. But he stunk it up out there.
No, he had an impact.
No, he didn't.
Positive impact.
No, you watched that game. He did not. It was all KD and
amazing decoy. Amazing decoy. He was like a wounded receiver that went out there and had one catch for 5 yards, but we were still shifting coverages his way.
No, that you got to
safety out of the box in the run game.
That's a horrible coach. That's a horrible. If you a defensive captain, that's horrible. Like you gonna see that. You gonna see that. Like, you know what I'm saying. So for me, the coaching was horrible. The IQ of the players. It was like, yo, like everybody that Harden was going right by him, right? So. In my eyes, if I'm a basketball player, yo, if he's on me and I know he got a hand me, I'm going straight at him. You know what I'm saying? They shooting jump shots, they belling them out. So, agreed. Like, kudos to Harden for, you know, toughing it out and going out there. But like I said, KD.
So you think they win that game if Harden don't play? And we can't talk about Jeff Green's performance either. Like, we can't not talk about Jeff Green. Jeff Green had an amazing shooting performance. But are you telling me you think the Brooklyn Nets win that game without James Harden on the floor?
Yes, the way KD put that team on his back and the way Jeff Green played.
You're absolutely nuts. You're absolutely nuts.
You're in the moment. You're in the moment. Oh, he played. Oh, he did a hell of a job.
I was live tweeting throughout the whole. I literally said word for word, if James Harden plays 30 plus minutes, the Nets will win this game in the close.
I literally said that. Hell, if James Harden didn't play, they still would have won the game.
So you're telling me Tyler Johnson or Shamet got 32 minutes, they win that. Stop it, man. They're not winning that game, but they sent a double team at Harden the whole first half, damn near.
What I'm telling you is that I don't care about them other players. I'm telling you, if James Harden wouldn't have played, they still would have won. So like I was saying previously, I said, look, you didn't think that was going to win anyway, right? That was
without Harden or Kyrie, I don't think you had a chance to win. I still stand by that.
Right. So I said that it was an opportunity for the Brooklyn Nets to win because they had a top five player all time in your books, KD.
Damn right.
And he was capable of giving you a 50 or 60 piece. And if he can do that, you got an opportunity. And that's what he did. And then, like I said, Uncle Jeff, he came out and he had a spectacular game. Harden ain't do shit. Like, get out of here.
Look,
that was the Bucks.
That's how I know you a football player, right? Anybody that's a real hooper, they know the impact, the overall impact that Harden had on that game.
What, man?
I'm going to tell you what. He gets the team in the offensive sets.
Like what I offensive said, set?
They Clear were out, double, get him, they
get
were
get a ball to KD and let him do his thing?
No, that was not. They were double teaming. They were double teaming Harden early. He got Drew Holiday two fouls early. Harden is a guy who's going to find the open guy. He's going to make the extra pass. Like, that'd be a lot of it. Like, players don't know what extra pass make. Like,
the you go
out there and be able to, if he didn't have an impact, trust me, he wouldn't have been out there for 40 plus minutes. Like, the coach is like, all right, bro. Like, we got to see Harden get you back out there.
Lies. Bro. Lies.
I'm telling you, bro. Tanner with me. Somebody with me. I think Javier with me too.
Yeah, Tanner, Javier, man. Kudos to both. Kudos to all three of y'all.
What
I'm telling you is KD and Jeff Green. Like, if KD, if Harden went out there.
Oh, damn. Never mind. Javier with you.
Right. If Harden wasn't out there, guess what? KD would have had 60 of them things.
If Harden went out there, those double teams that they were sending at Harden, they would have been sending at KD at
and the guess what? Of
the game.
So Jeff Green would have had 35 of them.
No,
things.
Because now I'm gonna have to make that extra. When I'm Harden, I got the ball, and somebody sends a double team to me. It's three guys left on the other four, so somebody else got to rotate. Somebody gonna be open. Somebody can cut. That affects the whole game. Whether Harden shooting or doing whatever he's doing. That's impacting that defense. So KD got a one-on-one automatically. They didn't double KD till the end of the damn game, really.
You talking about first half. First half, they was down 20 points. So that shit didn't do – that was whatever. Second half
– it's presence.
Man.
It's presence. But anyway, that game I want to bet too. By the hair of my chinny chin chin, the spread that I had, the points, the 20 points total, which I will never, ever bet – on an under again, but I bet the under. It was at 222.5. They ended up actually landing right on 222. But that is the worst. I mean, gambling on sports affects how you watch the game, obviously. But watching basketball and betting on the under, that's the worst shit in the world, bro. I'm sitting here watching the game. I'm like, damn, he made it. Like, I'm like, bro, I'm watching a basketball game. And I'm mad KD hitting four threes in a row. Like, that don't even make sense.
That was that his performance was spectacular, man.
Hey, Nick, look at his last name. Look at Nicholas Riley / Popovich. Facts, D, but that whole help rotation changes with Harden on the floor. Even hobbling, he can still shoot and pass. You still scared to leave 13 open, man.
Nicholas a damn fool, too. Like, what was going on? What was Harden? What was his what he shoot for?
I don't care, bro. That don't matter.
It matters to me.
Remember, Terrell Davis in the Super Bowl. He's on the sideline. He told Coach Shanahan, "I got a migraine. Man. I can't see. Hey, get your ass in the game. We're gonna run the play action because they don't think we're gonna run if you're not in the game." He got in the game.
He can't see, huh?
He got in the game.
Boy, don't be gullible out here now.
Gamesmanship, man.
Hey, AB. Hey, look at here.
They're not just handing these out. All right.
Hey. You order them from Johnson's.
They're not just handing these out, man. You feel me?
Johnson's, like, man.
Mondays, you know, 25 and up league. You know what I mean? Shout out Game Time Cobras, man. You know what I mean? They're not just handing those out, man. I know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm talking about that round ball, baby.
Them shit's cute.
Yeah, I mean,
it's cute. Don't get no water. Don't put no water on them shits.
Nah, them Jones don't get wet. I don't keep them in the sun too long.
Hey, Tone, man, that's all I know how to do, man. Don't like, you know, money. Hey, that's all I know how to do, man. I'ma just keep it a buck with you, you know, at all times.
Get that shit out of here, man.
Giving Green too much credit.
I wouldn't say that. Green hoop.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they don't win that game without Green. I mean, it's a team game. It's a team game. I saw LeBron drop 51 against Golden State.
Come on, Eddie.
Yeah, Green held his own. That was big, especially after all that time missed. Now, will Green do that again?
I don't know.
I don't think so. You can't. I don't expect him to do that again. But
I don't.
He showed that he can do it.
Yeah, for sure. And he would have got some more opportunities with like and I'm saying, if Harden was out, he would have got some more opportunities. You never know. He might have dropped him a 30 piece, but
Matter of fact, since y'all on this live, and once I hit one more bet, I'm gonna officially call this a heater. I'm on. This is a warm up for football season, but the Nets right now. Damn, I should have locked it in last night. The Bucks right now favorite tonight by 5.5 points. Now I'm assuming that Harden plays again. I think Harden's gonna play a little better.
Why?
Now, because I feel like now he got like this. If you all his shots, watching the game, all his shots
they were short. Yeah, he had to the left.
Yeah, on legs. You know, not really happy. So for him to go out there and get that conditioning, now he had obviously a day rest. He kind of know where he's at. The basketball savant that Harden is, I expect him to adjust. I expect him to play better. I expect him to be more effective. Maybe he feels a little better. Who knows?
It could have a reverse effect. Yeah, it could have.
It could.
Especially with them soft tissue joints. Like it could have a reverse effect. So we'll see.
100%. But I mean, I think, you know, I don't like he not coming out playing like 46 minutes unless he feel I got faith in him that he plays better. I don't think KD goes for another, you know, 49 piece, but I think he still has a 35 plus type game.
Man, look at him.
So I'm taking the Brooklyn Nets plus 5.5.
Two things. Now, Kiba, the Bucks should have definitely attacked Harden all game. I don't know why they didn't.
I don't know what the coaches were looking at.
I don't even know what the players was looking at. Like, it was one time down the court. I forgot who went at him. Somebody went at him. Drew White by him.
Probably Giannis.
No, it wasn't Giannis. It wasn't Giannis. It was give me a young boy name. The guy that they got from Pelicans.
Drew Holiday.
Okay. Drew Holiday went. Smack that at him, right? Boom, boom. Went to the cup, laid it up. Next time down the court, gave him the rock. So I'm like, oh, word. Keep on doing the same thing. Man, he shot a three. Oh, shit, my fault. My man shot a three. I'm like, come on, man. Like what's going on?
Boy, just like the Jazz, the boys live and die by that three-point line. But you got to adjust.
The second thing, though. Harden go not Harden, but KD go for 40 plus tonight.
Nah, not back to back. He play every minute, man.
He's going 40 every plus minute.
Every minute. And people so quick to give him that. And the questions, everybody, hey, everybody calling KD the best player in the world. Can he put it on the back? Can he do this? Can he carry the offensive load? I was questioning that. You said he could. That was one game. Can he do it again? I can see him going 35 plus.
How is this guy in your top five? You don't think he can go back to back 40?
Bro, all right, we got to understand this, right? Okay, so let me show you something real quick. So back in 2018, man, let me just give you, because we got a top five. When I say top five, isn't everybody's not created equal. Okay, LeBron's obviously he's in the top of my top five. Right?
I don't 2018 care about
LeBron James playoff run. Some notable stat lines from that run. 51-8-8. 46-11-9. 46-12-5. 45-8-7. 44-10-8. 44-5-3. 43-8-14. 42-10-12. 38-6-7. So when I say top five is not like even like, yeah, he's still in my top five, but I can't expect that type of performance from KD every night. So I can expect him to drop 35 every night.
He should not be in your top five. If you don't think this man could drop 42 games in a row, he should be in your top five. What are you talking about?
I'm not saying he can't drop four. I'm not saying he can't do it. But
you
like
just said that he had
49, 17, and what, 10 or 12 or something like that? I don't expect that again.
I said 40 points, bro. You said 17, 12, and I said he's going
35 plus. We on the same page there. I said 35 plus.
35 and 42 is a little different.
I say 35 plus. So you saying 40?
I said 40.
You know what? Let's see what his player prop is. I say 35.
He's definitely gonna have 40 tonight, because nobody out there can guard him.
KD, nobody. He coming off the Achilles. He tired. He played every minute of the game, bro.
Man.
Hard play 46 minutes, bro.
Top five guys, they do that, man.
Damn, it's over.
They play minutes.
His shit set at 35 and a half.
Over. Easy.
Yeah, I'm going to bet that over, too.
Over.
Now, you could make a lot of money. You bet that 40 plus. If you bet 500 plus on that 40 plus, you'll win 1150. But yeah, it's plus 250, right? I mean, plus 230 for him to score 40 plus. It's minus 102 for him to go over 35 and a half, and then minus 120 for him to score under 35 and a half. So let me see. Let's look at a couple other player props. What do you think about Jeff Green? His over-under is 13 and a half.
Over?
Over?
Yeah.
All right, that's where the money is. Plus 102 if you bet over 13 and a half. I think he has to for them to win. What about Giannis? Giannis is set at 33 and a half.
You know, I said this last game, man. Like, Giannis numbers could pop up, and if you don't watch the game, you'd be like,
he dominated.
Oh, he killed. But then you be looking at that shit. And my homeboy played ball. He was like, look, his go-to move is he gonna go to the left, he gonna spin back right.
No bad. No, hey. I'm gonna ask you this.
Hey, he going to the left, he gonna spin back right.
Now, people think I don't like Giannis, right? People think I don't like him because of some things I say. Hey, y'all fall for the Giannis finesse every year. This time the playoffs, he shows you why he's not the Batman, basically. I still believe it. I think he's a big man that needs another guard who could be a closer. I think he's like a Shaq, basically. More athletic, faster Shaq. Yeah. But I love Giannis, man, as a person. I love his story, the things that he went through as a young person, and his grind, his work ethic, his development in the league to become a superstar, have a signature shoe, two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, all amazing, incredible, already first ballot Hall of Fame type accolades. But everybody kind of gets measured by championships and things like that, compete for championships, which is fair or unfair, right? But he needs that Batman. I think he's a really, 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 really good Robin. And ultimately he needs that Batman, because late in the game, free throw line, can you hit jumpers? You get a post up on James Harden late in the game, a 6'4", 6'5" James Harden. You shooting fadeaways. You got to be able to close games. You got to be able to elevate in the meaningful points in games, and he has been able to do that. So
yeah,
I rock with Giannis, but I mean it's a lot, man, to be desired when you have those accolades and those trophies, and then you're not picking up KD. Dude, scorching, baking your whole team. You checking Joe Harris in the corner? Nah, you think that got anything to do with Giannis not growing up, like over here, not coming up the same way kind of we did in similar neighborhoods where it's like, all right, if AB that dude over there, like I got to go over there in 7-5 and see what AB talking about. I got to go in that open gym and pick up AB. Like, do you think that got something to do with him not doing those type of things?
I'm not gonna put it on that. Because honestly, like, I don't know how he grew up. He probably grew up tougher than I did, just his story and him on the streets with his brothers and doing different things. So, like, I'm not going
to. Yeah, no, I don't mean in that way. I'm saying as far as
being competitive, growing up being competitive.
When you go on these different AAU circuits or 7-on-7s or just a park growing up. I don't know exactly where it grew up and how big basketball was, but I know, like, out there where you from, like, it's real athletes and, like, y'all going to bump into each other at some point. And the best guy is going to guard the best guy. Like, I don't care what a coach saying. I don't care about none of that. I got this dude. He got 30 right now.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't know, man. I just think he's – I don't know, man. It's tough. And then for him to say, like, well, maybe he's being real. Like, you know, KD's the best player in the world right now. Like, maybe he a realist. Like, yo, like, shit. The shit Giannis was like, I seen this shit firsthand tonight. Like, what he was doing. Like,
he said it earlier in the season, like, though.
And – you seen the highlights of the other game when he tried to guard KD, and KD was like, y'all try to compete. So Giannis probably like, you know what I'm saying? So
KD definitely said that shit to Jay Will too.
Yeah,
he definitely said that in the middle of the series, bro.
Nah, you got two games left to win. You're the star. You're the star of the team. You hold that close to your chest. Again, like you said, with all the awards that he's received, a lot of people, we expect a lot from him, you know. We expect him to step up and guard KD. We expect him to do the tough things. But like I said, just the way his game is, you know, with him not being able to really hit the free throws throughout the game, him not even being able to create his own. Like, if it's not him running through the lane and spinning and dunking, after that, it's limited. So
yeah. Middleton got to step up too. He got to step up, be consistent.
But even if you look at Giannis, I'm not giving no excuses for him. Sure, he's still fairly young in his basketball life. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He really hasn't been playing as long as, you know, KD been playing probably since he was 6-7 years old or whatever, but no excuses. But Giannis, he got to step it up.
No explanations.
Yeah. You hear here all the time, but he definitely got to step it up.
Well, yeah, man. I know you got to get up out of here, man. You got to hop on that bird.
I know y'all going to miss this real talk, but that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to give y'all this real talk.
I'm going to rock 15 more minutes with y'all, man. Drop some questions, comments in the chat. I'm going to take a little minute break. Hey,
Before I get out of here, don't let D-Butt sell y'all no shit on here when I get out of here, man. Please.
Hey, so you got KD going 40 plus tonight.
40 plus. Jeff Green, he over 13 and a half.
He over 13.
Yeah, what else you need before I get him out of here? What else you need?
33 and a half Giannis, which, I mean, I expect him to score over 30. I'll say that, but
I would go under tonight.
Okay, Chris Middleton, I think he's at 24 and a half.
He's so inconsistent right now, man. Like,
yeah.
24 and a half. I'll give him an over.
Okay. And then who's going to win the game? Who's going to win the game and who's going to cover? The spread right now is Bucks are favored by 5.5 points.
I got the Bucks. I got the Bucks and I got them covering.
So you got the Bucks winning and covering the 5.5.
I do.
Okay. There you have it.
Hey, there you have it, man.
At his finest.
Hey, look, I'll be at Jackson State tomorrow, man. If anybody in Mississippi, man, I'm tapping in with Deion at Deion Sanders football camp. You know, one of the pro coaches, man, for Friday, man. So I'm giving, you know, show my HBCU some love, man. So that'll be fun, man.
That's dope, man. That's dope. Matter of fact, I'm gonna throw a throwback Thursday from me and Deion from some years back. But safe travels, man. That should be fun, man.
For sure. Hey, all right, appreciate man. Y'all, man. Y'all be good.
Out of here. I'm gonna take a little break. I'll be back in a minute. Now that we got AB out of here. Nah, that's what's up though. Big camp out there at Jackson State with Deion. I wish it could have worked for me. Should be some awesome stuff though. This is not a Zio production, but don't you guys worry. Some things are cooking. Things are happening. Things are happening behind the scenes. Speaking of things happening, I got this Oculus that I'm gonna try out today. It's Oculus Quest 2. If any of you guys have played it, you got any recommendations, some games I could to get, some things I should try, et cetera, et cetera, let me know. We got an interesting question here. Two answers. Nakiba, we are waiting on this Patreon. So I actually have a call today. I had a call yesterday with Patreon, with some of the people there. I got another call with them today. Just figuring out, you know, I got to roll it out the right way. I know you guys are definitely going to love the content, but if you are paying your hard-earned money to subscribe to something, I got to make sure it's done the right way on both ends. So it's coming very, very soon. I got a good question. I'll probably, you already called them out on that Oculus. So yeah. Which DB core? Nicholas Riley Popovich. Which DB core is the most underrated? Right now, probably the Broncos. I don't know who's talking about what. I don't really pay attention to it at this point in the year. But coming into the season, the Broncos are really high on my list of secondaries. Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons back there at safety. You know, obviously drafted Pat Surtain high in the first round this year out of Bama. And then you got sign Kyle Fuller, and then Vic Fangio on that defense. Those pass rushers, that could easily be the best secondary in the league this year. Packers, I love the Packers secondary as well, with Alexander, Amos. Amos, interestingly enough, so I did some work. I still do some work with PFF, and according to their win shares, out of non-quarterbacks, I think Adrian Amos is like either second or third as far as when it comes to win shares. Like, the you know, if this guy's not in the lineup, how many more or less games will you win? I believe he's second or third, so unbelievable right there. Bills, another strong secondary. Combalary Sports. The strongest wide receiver I played against. Probably Anquan Boldin. Jarvis Landry is definitely on that list. I feel like Jarvis Landry is kind of – Anquan and Q, they're both like, you know, country strong. I don't know what they lift in the weight room, what they did there. But on that field, very, very strong. They'll be up there. Steve Smith was incredibly strong as well. Who else am I? Yeah, I'll probably put those in my top three just off the top. What else we got, man? Boop, 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 boop. I did play Stevie Johnson. Question from Zach. Did you ever play against Stevie Johnson? Yes, played against Stevie Johnson. Stevie Johnson was hell off of that line of scrimmage. His releases were unmatched. Tanner Hall, best locker room memory from my time with the Colts. I would say after beating Peyton Manning in that divisional playoff game up in Denver, the celebration that we had in the locker room, on the plane. You know, we had booked our ticket to the AFC Championship. That was, you know, the Deflategate game. So, you know, you had a chance to punch a ticket to the Super Bowl. So, that was probably one of my favorite moments, favorite locker room moments. And then, the other one is a Colt. Was that 2013 wild card comeback game against the Kansas City Chiefs. We were down like 28 or something like that in the second half, and we came back and won that. That moment in the locker room was incredible as well. So definitely two big ones. Yeah, man, some good questions, though. Good questions. What else? We got? How much time do we have left? Where's my where did I put my jet? Why is the time not showing? Okay, we got 5 minutes. Steven Norris, which did you prefer playing, inside nickel or outside corner? I like safety, free safety over both of them, honestly. But out of those two, probably nickel, just because you have more action. You had to communicate with more people. You're involved in a run and pass game. I had to prepare and study much differently as a nickel back because I had to communicate with more people. I had to be more on point. So I'll probably say nickel. Did Jacksonville ever did Jacksonville ever have a receiver worth a damn? Yes. You know, I played against a few. Cecil Shorts. Allen Hurns was good when he was there. I think Marquise Lee was coming into his own before he started dealing with those injuries. Jimmy Smith back in the day, Keenan McCardell. Jacksonville's definitely had some receivers over the years. DJ Chark, I like DJ Chark out there. They got some receivers now. They just signed Marvin Jones. Dorsett's out there, Philip Dorsett. They got some players out there that can make some plays. Jimmy Smith slept on, though, as one of those dogs. Anytime I talk to older corners, they always bring Jimmy Smith up. So he was slept on. Max Meringer. Now, this is a touchy subject, right? The vaccines. And the Colts, it came out reported they have some of the lowest vaccination rates or numbers in the league, it doesn't surprise me. The people that I talk to that's still in the league, right? The majority of them would rather have not taken the vaccine. Like, bro, I did not want to take this vaccine. And you saw what was put out yesterday, the different protocols for the vaccinated and the non-vaccinated players. And it was pretty much like, hey, if you don't take it, you're basically back in your own bubble, the non-vaccinated bubble, and which was hell for a lot of players. Like, I'm talking about like dealing with depression, dealing with all type of things, being in that semi-bubble. It wasn't even like a bubble like the NBA was, but being in somewhat of a bubble. People not seeing their kids for 4, 5, 6 months. So it was tough. So for those reasons, people reluctantly have taken the vaccine because they didn't want to have to get tested every day. Didn't want to have to not be able to eat in the meal room, not be able to see family on the road, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I understand it from a workplace sense. You know, you want to put as many safety measures as possible. But when you're talking about individual choices as far as taking the vaccine, that's still an individual choice to me. It's an individual medical choice at that. So I don't even think it's cool for reporters to go in there and ask these players, hey, have you been vaccinated? Hey, this, hey, that. A lot of people have chose not to talk about it, whether they were vaccinated or not, just because they don't want to kind of ostracize their other teammates who may be on the other side of it. And it's a personal choice. Me personally, whether you're vaccinated or not, choose to get it or not, that's 1,000% your choice. If I take the vaccine, I trust the science behind it. I trust it to protect me. So I'm not going to be jumping down your throat or, you know, bullying you in a sense to take it. I'm like, oh, you know, because if I'm telling you I trust it, then I can't be. I mean, that's just how I feel personally. But I know, like I said, I know it's a touchy subject, but I see a lot of sports reporters. Hell, this guy, oh, get the damn vaccine. What the hell are you thinking? Oh, how selfish can you be? And this, that, and the third, bro. This is something getting poked in your body. And you're talking to people who are more in tune with their body than most other people walking this earth. So, yeah, I would definitely be reluctant if I was a player to take it. But once again, do I want to go back in a bubble? Do I want to get to some sense of normalcy in this type of building? A lot of players I've talked to have pretty much, you know, been either peer pressured or somewhat bullied into taking it. I mean, it is what it is, man. But this vaccine conversation is wild. I mean, I never thought I would have seen some of the comments and the things that I've seen, you know, for people who are like, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to take it. Or I don't want to take it. HIPAA, I don't know what happened to HIPAA. It's wild though. But yeah, man, I'm about to get up out of here. I'll be on the Pat McAfee show tomorrow. Got that Patreon coming soon. Yeah, man, I appreciate y'all, man. I see somebody saying I'm not even gonna comment on that. But be safe, man. Y'all take care of yourself, take care of your loved ones. Have a great weekend. All the fathers out there, have a great Father's Day. Yeah, man, it's love over here, man. Check that game out tonight. Nets Bucks. I'm taking the Nets +5.5. I expect KD to score over 35. I will bet on that as well. I expect Harden to have a better game. The Bucks may win a close one, but no way do they beat the Nets by 6+. Nah, I don't see it. But I'm out, man. Love y'all. Appreciate the support. Appreciate y'all being here Monday, Thursday. I see a lot of familiar names in here. See y'all on Monday. Enjoy the weekend. I'm out. Oh, we got a prediction. Hold on. 36-8-7. That's going to be KD's stat line, Zach. Any other prediction? If you get a right prediction, I'm going to post it on the page. You better believe it. Oh, man. Appreciate you, Vanna. Happy Father's Day. All right, no more predictions. So I'm out of here. We're going to leave it at Zach. 36-8-7. That's what he says KD's stat line is going to be. I'm out of here, man. Y'all take care.